Welcome to another episode of the Unveiling Grace podcast. My name is Lynn Wilder, and my normal co-host is missing today. We're having a Women's Day. Instead of Michael, my daughter Katie has joined us. Katie Warren.
Hi.
Hey. And we are talking to Julie Morrison today. Julie, I just read in Proverbs 31 that she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she could laugh at the days to come, which is kind of funny because things get tough sometimes. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. We are going to focus on women today because we are preparing for a women's conference in Riverdale, Utah, that will be meeting at Alpine Church. This is a group called Warrior Women in Christ. And Julie, you are part of this group, so you know a lot more than I do about this. But first, I want to hear your story to Christ. I understand that you were once a Latter-day Saint.
Yes.
Welcome. Tell us about your, were you born under the covenant?
I was. I actually grew up in the religion. My parents were both very ingrained. My family was very ingrained, and I did everything that I was supposed to. I didn't agree with some of the stuff that I was being taught, but I just kind of went along with everything that was being said. When I was in high school, I met this guy. And I know. And we dated a couple years. And of course, after we graduated, we wanted to get married. But before we could get married, he needed to come into alignment with my beliefs and accept my religious affiliation.
And where were you living?
We were in Ogden, Utah.
Oh, okay. And so a non-member of Ogden.
Yes. And so he had the missionaries come to him, and of course he got baptized. So then we were able to get married at that time. For some odd reason, though, we never got married in the temple. There was something very weird that I just didn't understand, that if this was God's house, why would he keep anybody out of it?
Oh, interesting. And that's a good question for early on, huh?
Yeah, I just have this feeling that it just wasn't the place for us to get married. I don't know why. But over the years, we pretty much did what everybody else did, you know, worked and went to college. But my life was really about me. You know, I constantly was attending motivational seminars. I read books on success. And my mission was to attain goal after goal to move up the ladder.
Okay, now where in the world would you get a framework like that? Because that sounds like my life at BYU. Probably Katie's life in high school. Yeah. Feeling like you had to do this and then do this and then do this and then do this.
Yeah, it always seemed like there was an extra rung on the ladder somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I was always trying to attain something else. And I really think what I was after was my purpose in life. And I think I really saw my value and happiness in the materialistic things that I had and how I appeared to people. Mm-hmm. And as far as my spiritual belief went at that time, I just kind of thought, if I'm a good person and I follow my religious teachings, I'm going to be okay.
So were you aware at the time that the Book of Mormon actually says, if you live the commandments, you'll be blessed both temporally and spiritually? I was well aware of that and chasing, you know, whatever I thought would make me look like God was pleased with me, right?
Exactly. That's how I felt. It was kind of interesting too, because I felt like in our marriage, while I was out there building myself up, my husband was working with a non-denominational church group, youth group.
And what? How did that happen?
We had some friends that were Christians, and they wanted to put together this non-denominational youth group because he had a great big garage in the back of his house. So he and my husband, get this, for 15 years, they did this youth group. They were gone he was gone every Wednesday night, and a lot on the weekends too, because they would do activities with them. And he was just so committed to him. And I feel really bad because I'd often criticize him for what he was doing and tell him, you're not going to get anywhere in life doing that. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause I'm out there building myself. And this is what's kind of funny. We had been married 32 years, and one day he came home with a 500 page doctrinal book, and it was called The Mormon Doctrine. And he started asking me questions about this book. And you know what? I don't know what went on in my head, but I kept telling him, no, that's not right. That can't be right. That isn't. And he said to me, do you really know what you believe? Mm. And I think at that time, and people who know me, I'm really competitive. So I said, it's game on. I'm going to start researching this because I don't believe what you're saying to me is true, but it's out of my doctrine.
So this is Bruce R. McConkie's Mormon Correct. Doctrine book, which the church no longer sells
right.
at their bookstores, but once really heavily promoted, mm-hmm. right, in mm-hmm. years past.
Yeah.
Yes. And your husband did join the LDS Church. Were you attending regularly?
On and off. Okay. On and off, we were attending. So kind of in my quest for this truth, I started doing my own research. And a friend had recommended a class at a Christian church called Fresh Start. And it was basically to introduce you to the historical evidence and the reliability of the Bible and versus some of the Mormon doctrine. And the class was amazing. It was 19 weeks. And it was there that we were reading scriptures and I was going, that's not right. That's not right what you're saying. Mm. And so I had several conversations with the teacher, and you know, I even went home and started making a list of everything that I had been taught versus everything that I'm now learning out of the Bible. And
okay, this was taught at a church
it was just taught at a Christian church.
And you weren't afraid to step into a Christian church? Probably because your husband had been kind of partnering with a Christian yeah. man for 15 years, right?
Yeah.
Surely that man was witnessing the gospel, your husband.
Well, and so here's what's so weird is one day I'm just sitting at my desk, right? And I'm literally, I have the Book of Mormon, I have the Bible, I have all of these books, and I'm going through them, and I hear behind me very loudly, you're done. And I turned around because I thought it was my husband.
Wow.
But Lynn, there was nobody there. Oh. And I really felt like it was in my heart that God showed me at that time that his Bible was reliable and true, and that it was the foundation of everything. And I shut everything. I shut all my books, and I got rid of everything except for the Bible.
Wow.
And from that day on, my life has so changed. I'm no longer, I don't feel like I'm under the scorecard of judgment. And what was weird is I just kept hearing, now read me. And so every day I started reading the Bible and drawing closer and closer to God. And you know, what was kind of funny is now as I contemplate that, I think the Bible was the only book on success that I never needed. I didn't need all those motivational books, everything like that. I needed the Bible. And what was really funny too is after 53 years, I finally got it. It wasn't my husband. It wasn't me that saved my husband. It was my husband who saved me.
Mm.
And what was really cool is I got baptized in that church on January 21st, 2018. And believe it or not, but in October 2019, I got the opportunity to go to Israel and receive the renewal of baptism in the Jordan River.
Wow, that's incredible.
It was so amazing. And so just in the 5 short years that I've walked with Jesus, my life is so much not about me. I no longer put my hope in temporary things. The Bible, I believe, is the authority of my life. And my purpose is to be an ambassador for Christ and to share the gospel with everyone. I started a Bible study through the church, and I'm a newbie here. I mean, I started a Bible study through that church 3 years ago. I have 28 women who come to learn about the Bible. And I just see transformation. It is so amazing. I've also even started teaching that Fresh Start program to bring other people to have them look at the Bible and its reliability and the historical evidence behind the Bible and the teachings of Jesus. And I've also started jail ministry. And I would do something for Jesus every day if I could. But my husband's like, you need to slow down.
So you're going to have to back up and tell me how your husband got there before you, and then what catalyst it was that kind of put you over the edge to make the final decision. And then I'm wondering, do you have children, and what the heck happened to your kids? So one thing at a time, tell me about your husband.
So my husband actually was saved, which I did not know that. He never, ever told me that he got saved. And after I got saved, he had told me that he had been praying for me for years.
Wow.
And so that was an amazing thing. It was very awesome. And I only have one daughter, and she's 38, so she wasn't in the home, but she was out on her own when all of this transpired. But she has also come to Jesus, the same with her, my son-in-law, and my grandson. And it's just amazing. It is amazing. God is just working.
Wow. Do they live near you in the
yes.
Ogden area?
Oh. Yeah, they are in the Ogden area.
Huge yeah. blessing.
Wow. Yeah. And so it's just so weird. The things that put me over the top, I think, was that when I was reading the Bible just came alive to me. You know, I've read the Bible before and nothing has really resonated or anything like that. Now I can read a scripture and I am like, whoa, we got to take a minute and just sit with this for a minute, because there's so much instruction on life. And, you know, some of those verses, like there's only, what does he say? For there's only one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, in 1 Timothy 2:5. Those kind of blew me out of the water. And because I hadn't heard that, right?
Well, no, you have to have a prophet mediator and 15 prophets, seers, and revelators, plus a stake president and a bishop, right? I remember my bishop telling me one time I was not allowed to get a revelation from God for anything as a woman unless I had stewardship over it. And basically that would be I could get a word for my kids, but not for my husband, right? Mm-hmm. I could get a word maybe for my calling. But other than that, God wasn't going to talk to me about anything, because there were all these mediators between you and man, right? Or between you and God.
And that was one thing that really kind of hit me too, when somebody, my friend, said, you know, God can talk to you. And I said, no, he can't. He talks through our prophet. But I'm telling you that after I have become this new creation, I hear from him all the time. You know, I really feel like I'm one of his sheep and I can hear his voice. And one thing I did for a little bit there is I thought I could kind of play both sides. Because as you're getting introduced to Christianity, you're kind of like, well, what if it isn't right? And what if Mormonism is right? Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the more I started reading and for some reason we got into Revelation, and Revelation 3:16, it says, because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And I went, I think he's trying to tell me something here. Mm-hmm. I'm either in or I'm out. I'm either in with the world.
Yeah.
Or I am in with Jesus. And that just made a whole difference in everything as well. And I started changing. My daughter even told me, Mom, you're changing. Mm-hmm. You're so nice. She was like, because I really was agitated, you know, when you're trying to do all the works, I felt like a little mouse on a, it's what am I going to do next? And I was always tense. And now I feel like I am just so chill and relaxed. And every day I ask myself, what and who am I chasing? Because if it's not God and Jesus, then it's wrong. There's something else I need to analyze.
And those other things become an idol, don't they? They become that mediary that you're not supposed to have except for Jesus.
It really is. It really is. And so I am so excited. I'm on fire. My Bible study group, of course, we have newbies and we have people that have been Christians for a long time. And we just have love and enthusiasm. And they tell me all the time, I wish we had your energy. And I'm like, that's okay. That's why God put me here, to revitalize you, right? You got to get up and get moving. So we encourage them to act and to get out and share the gospel.
So Katie and her husband, Joseph, are headed to Utah to do ministry. Oh. Are you seeing more Latter-day Saints interested in the Bible, in Jesus? Yes.
There, just at our church, we've run several questions. They call them kind of question and answers for those people that are just seeking. And we're seeing more and more people coming out. When I was in the Fresh Start program, there were several people who came incognito. They didn't want anyone to know who they were. They didn't want to write their names on a roll. So there's a lot of people. But we're also seeing a lot of people who turn to atheism, who just don't believe in God because they've been so deceived. And we do have a family member that we're trying to nurture back, because out of the blue, they decided that it wasn't true. And we're just trying to be an example and help them see God every day in what we're doing.
Well,
that's awesome.
Katie, I was going to ask you, Katie came to faith. So what year was it for you, Julie?
About
2018, she said. Yeah.
Wow. So Katie came to Christ right at the end of her senior year of high school.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any particular scripture or things that impacted you, or that God used kind of to change your mind?
Yeah. Well, listening to her testimony is so awesome, because there are so many common threads, I feel like, throughout Christian testimonies. And it's exciting when you hear and see them, because it's like that immediate connection of understanding. Oh, okay, we're like Oh yeah, that's my Jesus too. Like we are totally talking about the same God and the same Jesus, which theologically is a different God and a different Jesus of Mormonism. One thought I had when you were talking about the temple, like at the very beginning, that was a question that came up in my head as well, even though I was younger and hadn't fully gone through the temple and been sealed in it or anything. But I do remember thinking when the Holy Spirit was starting to open my eyes and I was reading the word and stuff, I do remember, the scripture, God dwells not in temples made with human hands. Like, I don't know how we could get more obvious, but, or how we never heard those scriptures, but I was like, oh my gosh, like it's not about the temple. It's not about the place. But I also remember feeling like it's not the healthy who need a physician, but the sick. And I looked at the temple and I was like, if you have to be so clean and so perfect and so worthy to be able to even, you know, pay your tithing, to attend church, to take the sacrament, to, you know, check off all these things, to even like be considered maybe qualified to enter the temple if your bishop allows you, then why aren't the people who are the most sick and the most needy, why are they not allowed to go in? Why are they cast out and only the righteous people are going in? If that's literally like where God dwells, you know, or where his presence dwells, and we're not letting in all these hurt and wounded and sick and hungry and thirsty people who could actually benefit the most from the temple, why aren't we letting them in? And you touched on, I once was blind and now I see, which is just such a beautiful theme, I think, as well throughout testimony. Because even if you've read the word of God 100 times, until God removes the veil, you might not be able to see. So I thought that was really awesome, because that happens to a lot of believers as well, where it's just like, man, I know that I've read the New Testament, or I know that I've read this scripture, and it's never spoken to me before. And that's another thing. I once was lost and now I'm found, meaning that there was a time where you were not a child of God, right? Because we don't come into this world as children of God. We come into this world as horrible sinners, and only through adoption and recognizing the voice of the shepherd and following that do we come into fellowship and communion with God, right? So the fact that you said that you can recognize and you know the voice of the shepherd now is just so, I was just like, that's just like such a key thing, because I know that you're okay because you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, meaning you have teacher, guide, helper in time of need. You have refuge. You have the living water, the bread of life. You have everything you need, and he'll continue to lead you in that throughout your ministry. Because 5 years, I mean, that's really like you're a new believer still. Like, that's so exciting.
I was still quite crazy at 5 years in.
So I think we could all say that. That's okay.
Yeah. So, Julie, tell us about this women's conference upcoming. And tell us about women warriors, the warrior women in Christ, warrior right?
Hang on just a sec. I was just going to grab this poster that I have.
Perfect.
There we go. We have been doing a couple of years. A lady who actually, she was my neighbor for over 25 years, and I didn't even know her until I got saved. And we met in the grocery store, and it was kind of funny, but we got together, and the next thing you know, she is putting together a conference on equipping the saints. And that was last year. And we talked about putting on the armor of God and she put together, I think there's like 6 or 7 speakers who actually just talk from various backgrounds and talked a little bit about how important it is to put on and wear the armor of God. This next Warrior Women Conference, it's on Saturday, May 4th, and it's non-denominational. It is called Establishing the Saints, where we just talk about how we can, it comes actually from Colossians 2, 6, and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, in overflowing and gratitude. This is an amazing conference. It, like Lynn had mentioned, it's at Alpine Church in Riverdale, Utah. You can find the tickets on Eventbrite, and they're only $35, and you get lunch. So it's amazing. There will be, it's a one-day conference, goes from 9 to 4:30. There's about 7 women speaking all about walking with Jesus. And
I will be there.
Yes. And Lynn will be there. She's going to be our guest speaker.
I'm still a little feeling foreign with the kind of the Christian women. You know, I'm a new enough believer it is wonderful to be with the sisters. We are at the end, my dear. So I will put on the website all the links that people need in order to find the conference. But thank you, Julie, so much for sharing your heart with us. And Katie, please come back again. Yes.
I'd love to. Thank you so much. This was awesome. Thanks for sharing with us.
Yes, thank you.
Grace and peace to you, sisters. Until next time.